It may not be quoted as much as some other passages and verses are, but when we begin to read Hebrews 11, all of a sudden our minds realize that we have heard many, many things about this chapter. We have read it many times and preached messages from different portions of that. And this is chapter 11 is God's faith chapter. Those that live by faith. And thank God this morning, as a child of God, that's the only way we can live, is by faith that we have in the Son of God. And in Hebrews 11, you have people mentioned like Abraham and Sarah. You have Isaac, you have Abel, you have Enoch. You have so many different ones that are mentioned. You have Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and his parents are listed there. And you have Joshua and Rahab and all the heroes of the faith. The writer of Hebrews says, when he comes down to having listed all of these different ones, he says in verse number 32, What shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell. And then he begins to list some more things that he remembers and that God gives him, and how that people survived the problems of life, even survived the fiery darts of the wicked one, and survived the troubles of other people simply because of their faith. And I want us to look in verse number 13 this morning. I don't know that I have ever preached on these verses exactly like this, these next few verses beginning in verse number 13. The scripture says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." This morning, I want us to think on that first verse there that we read. These all died in the faith. All of a sudden this week, taking the situations that have taken place, we come to the realization that life is very brittle. We find that life can be changed very, very quickly. I don't know, two or three people have even made the statement, talking about the accident with Megan, that life can change just in a twinkling of an eye, and how true that is. There are some of you that are in here that there have been instances in your life that changed your life in just a short moment. It may have been an accident, it may have been a situation that took place, but something took place in your life. And I'm not talking about salvation, I'm talking about physical things that come to us, things happen to us that change everything about our future or the way our future we thought would be. But the Bible says here that these folks that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11, he says, these all died in the faith. I want us to just think for a few minutes this morning, and this is a message to make us think. It's not a message to make us doubt. It's a message to make us think and to understand that we are going to leave this world one day. And I just ask the question, how are we going to die? How are we going to leave this world? For we all are going to leave. There's no one that's going to escape that. Maybe the first thing that comes to your mind after that kind of a question is, what are the surrounding circumstances that might take me out of this world? Will I die of old age, or will I die a young person, or will I die of some sickness, or maybe possibly an accident that comes our way? And the questions like that could go on and on and on. How are we going to leave this world? How are we going to die? But the main question is about death, is what the scripture says about these folks. They died in the faith. And so the main question is, how are we going to die in this personal life? How are we going to meet God? Am I going to die in the faith, or am I going to die out of the faith? And that's a serious question that everyone has to answer. Everyone has to come to a realization of what I'm dealing with this morning, that we're not eternal people in the flesh. God has made us an eternal soul. An eternal life has been given to the child of God, but we are not going to live eternally upon this earth. We're going to pass from here, and may it be said about us as it was said about these, they all died in the faith. As I've mentioned, death certainly is a reality. It's something that we're going to have to face sometime in our life. There may be sometime an instance comes to you that you're not sure, well, am I going to make it any farther? There may be a diagnosis, and you'll be wondering, will I make it very far, or what's ahead of me? Because we understand that death is a reality. There's no escape from it, because it is a divine appointment. The scripture says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, as it appointed a man once to die, then after this the judgment. So we have an appointment that we're going to keep one day, and that appointment is with that thing called death. It's an appointment that we're going to keep whether we want to or not. It's an appointment that may come before we think it will come. And by the way, death is no respecter of persons. I have been to funerals of young people. I've been to funerals of the elderly. I've been to funerals of those in the middle age. And so death doesn't respect us. Sometimes we get to the thought process that we're going to grow old and die. That's the natural process. The natural process is that parents do not bury their children, but sometimes that takes place. So the natural process is that we think we're going to have our life, we're going to live our life, we're going to grow old, and we're going to die. Well, that does happen in many cases, but it doesn't happen in all of them. And so we need to be assured, we need to understand that death comes to all people. It is an appointment that we will keep. James, in the book of James chapter 4 and verse number 14, says, "Know not what shall be, for we know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" So we're living, we have life. What is your life? And then James begins and he tells us life is like a vapor. It's here for just a little while, and then the Bible says it vanishes away. And that vanishing away is what we call physical death. So what is our life? It's just like a vapor that's here, can be seen, and the movement is there, but all of a sudden it is gone. So death is a reality. The book of Genesis, chapter number 5, I've mentioned this so many times. Genesis chapter 5 tells us that death comes to every person. There's only one person in Genesis 5 that does not, or two people that does not talk about dying, but the rest of them, they die. The Bible gives us in Genesis 5, verse number 1, talks about the very beginning of time with Adam and Eve. But the scripture says all the days of Adam were 930 years, and he died. And you can read the rest of that book. We'll not take time this morning. You can read the rest of that chapter in the book of Genesis, and you'll find that for most people, Enoch and Methuselah, those two that are mentioned there, it says, and they died. And so that process takes place in the life of every individual, and that process has been taking place ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin. And God says, when you eat of that tree, ye shall surely die. The devil come along and says, see, you took it and you're not, you didn't die. Oh, but the devil doesn't ever tell you the full story. They maybe did not die physically right at that moment, but there was a process began in their body when they rebelled against God. They began to die, and one day death would catch them. But they died instantaneously, spiritually. They were separated from the Lord. So death is a reality. According to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, in that third chapter of Ecclesiastes written by the wisest of all men, Solomon, is that chapter that says there's a time for every purpose under heaven. And in verse number 2, the Bible says there's a time to be born and a time to die. We all have our birth date. We all have that time that we're born. And somewhere down the line, there's going to be that death date that is there present for when our life ends. So there's a time to be born, a time to die. He goes on and says there's a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. And you can read Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, and you'll find there's a time for everything. But when Solomon got through this whole entire book, he said there's only one thing that's really important, and that is to fear God and to know Him. And so we're faced with reality. We're faced with this event that is timed for us and planned for us. God knows the time frame. God knows our being. And so therefore it is an event that will take place, and it is a physical event that's going to happen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. You know what that is? That's death. The flesh shall return to the dust of the earth. Out of the dust we were made, out of the dust we shall go back. And that's a prevalent passage throughout the scripture, that we are a dying people. And so we find that we're going to return to the dust of the earth, but the spirit that God has given to us will live on forever and forever. One event happens to all of us, the saved and the unsaved alike. Doesn't matter who we are, where we are, doesn't matter how much we own or do not own. Death is, as I said a moment ago, is no respecter of person. We will all face that time, that day of death, and we do not know when it takes place. We might think that situations come our way, and we might think, well, we were lucky in that instant. With the child of God, I know we use that word very freely, but really with the child of God, there's no such thing as luck. God knows us from the beginning to the end, and God plans the course of our life. And we're going to face Him one day with our life, either as a believer or as a non-believer. The unsaved die without Christ. What a terrible thought that is, to die without the Lord, to die without God. To me, it's almost impossible to imagine living our life without the Lord, much less dying without God. Just to live every day without the Lord, what a terrible thing that we, what a faulty life that is, to live without God. But when an unsaved person dies without Christ, he dies without help. There is no help for him. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, again, that Old Testament book, chapter 8 and verse 8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. There's not going to be a time when God says, well, you're okay, you've lived good enough, you're not going to die. Solomon says there's no discharge in that war of life and death that we face. Neither shall the wickedness deliver those that are given to it, according to Ecclesiastes. So there is no man that hath power over the spirit, and there's no person that can command his flesh to live or to die. No one ever did that except Jesus Christ. He committed his own life unto his Father. And so we find that when a man dies without God, he dies without help. He dies alone. He dies a death that is very, very tragic and very lonely. He dies not only without help, he dies without hope. There's no hope when that last breath is drawn, when that last moment of life escapes us. There's no more dealing with life. There's no more dealing with individuals. And a man or a woman that dies without God, he dies without hope. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have" what? "No hope." Here we find the contrast is between the saved and the lost. One has hope, one has no hope. And so those that die without God, those that die without Christ, they die without any help. They die without any hope. They die without any way of ever changing the reality of their destination of eternity without God. Hell is a truth many times realized too late. A lot of folks now make fun and mock the idea of hell, or it's archaic and we don't believe that anymore. We're not that old-fashioned anymore. We're more intelligent than to believe those things today. Well, they'll come up to a reality one day and they'll come up short and they'll realize that the truth that was given to them about hell is real, and it's too late then. I'm sure all of us have been to funerals of folks that have been saved, and we've been to funerals of folks that have not been saved. Vast difference. Vast way of living, a great difference in dying, and what a tragic difference it is in eternity. Saved and lost are different, have a different way of life, have a different mindset, have a different way of living, different God. One is a God of themselves, one's the God of heaven. And so there's a great difference, and a person that dies without God dies without any help, he dies without any hope, and he dies without happiness. There's no joy in the death of the wicked, the Lord says. The Scripture tells us in the Gospel five times in the book of Matthew and also in Luke that in the end of it there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so there's no happiness in hell. I've said it a number of times. Other preachers have said it. It was even said in our camp meeting that a lot of times folks think, well, I'm living my life and my friends live their life. When I die and go to hell and they're in hell, we'll have a good party in hell. I'll guarantee you there's no party going on in hell. There's no happiness there. There's no joy there. There's nothing relaxing there. There's nothing there that will help us, and there's no hope of ever escaping that. So the unsaved that die without Christ, they die without help, they die without hope, and they die without happiness. But on the other side, thank God, there's another side to it. Those of us that die in Christ, those of us that are believers, thank the Lord, we do have help. The Bible tells us in Psalm number 23, David says in verse number 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." There's help for the child of God. There's help for the person that dies in the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about and we think about, we remember those that have left our personal walk with God, and they have gone on to be with the Lord, and we have great memories of how they lived for the Lord and how God helped them in different situations of life. Whether or not you, and I'm sure you don't know, as I do not know all the details about the accident this week, but I'll tell you what, there was help from God to Megan. If you've seen the picture of the car, you realize how fortunate, not lucky, but fortunate that she is. Had a bad night last night, but she could have had a worse day as far as physically the day that that accident occurred. And sometimes these circumstances bring us to the point of remembering and thinking about reality. And there's nothing wrong with having a reality check. There's nothing wrong with, the Bible says, make sure our calling and our election. There's nothing wrong with examining ourselves. The Scripture tells us to do that, that we would make sure that we're in the body of believers, in the body of faith. Never would I preach doubt. Never would I preach a doubtful message. Thank God my hope is built on Jesus Christ and nothing less. But we need sometimes a reality to realize we're going that direction and something's going to take us out of this life. But the believer this morning has help. Help in this life, and thank God, help in the life that is to come. David says that death is just like a shadow. And he says his rod and his staff, those two instruments of correction, comfort me, and they help me in my walk with God. And so when I leave this world, thank God he's there waiting for me. I read in the Gospel of Luke that there was a rich man that died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. No help for him then. No hope for him then. No happiness. For he said, send Lazarus that he might dip his finger and just let the drop of water drop on my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And then he had concern about not only himself, but he had concern for his brothers. He said, send him back to tell them, don't come here. Don't come to this place where I am. But on the other side of that, we have a man by the name of Lazarus. And the Bible says that the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom, what we know of as the Jewish aspect of paradise. Great difference. We have help. The believer has hope this morning. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 21. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's not normal thinking. That's not the normal process that we go through. We think of losing when we die, but Paul says, I gain. For me to live is Christ, but if I die, what a great gain that is for me. He says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. And then Paul says, I'm in a strait. He said, I'm in a struggle. He says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to part and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul said, I need to live, I want to live, but if I die, it's far better. And Paul says, I'm in a strait. He said, I'm in a narrow spot. We use the old archaic term, between a rock and a hard place. Paul says, these things are on my mind. He said, I want to live, and I want to live for Christ, but if I die, it's a great gain. He says, so which way do I want to go? Do I want to live or do I want to die? I'm in a strait between the two. He says, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ is far better. That's the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's far better. May we never get to the point of thinking that a believer dies, he loses. Oh no, there's a great gain. There's a gain of a home. There's a gain of heaven. There's a gain of all the things that the Lord has prepared for us. And the child of God, he has help and he has hope. The opposite side, he also has happiness. Matthew 25 says, enter into the joy of the Lord. Psalms 116 verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. I don't know how many times I've used that verse in a funeral message. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. That's you and I. That's those of us that are saved. And God says it's precious in his sight that we're leaving this world and we're ushered into his very presence. It was precious for Lazarus to be ushered into the presence of the Lord. It was a wonderful thing for him to leave this world as a beggar and go to a far better place. He had the happiness of knowing God, knowing the Lord. But verse 13, well, I want us to look just a few moments at some of these little phrases here in this passage. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. They began a good work, they began a good walk for the Lord, and they died in the faith, even though they did not receive all the promises that God had given to them. They kept the faith. They continued on. And you know, there's a lot of things that come to God's people. There's a lot of joys out there before us, and some of those things that we think about, some of those things that we pray about, some of those things we desire, I'm talking about on this side of death, we may not receive all those promises that God has given. We might not obtain everything that the Lord has given His Word that's a possibility for the child of God to possess. But we are certainly, when we leave here, we're to die in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's people do not always get all that they want. God's people do not always want the right things, and so therefore God withholds that. But there are some things that we just do not get because the Lord takes us out of the way and takes us on to heaven. And too many believers today, when they do not get all that they want and all that they think they need, they turn their back and they go back to where they came from. Something wrong with that philosophy. The Bible says here, these folks in Hebrews 11, the Scripture says here, these all died in faith, even though they did not receive all the promises that God gave to them. God promised Abraham to make him a great nation, and Abraham didn't see all of it. He promised to many of the believers in the Old Testament great things that would come to them and to their nation and to their family. They did not receive that, but they walked the walk of faith, and they walked with the Lord Jesus. They walked with God. So these all died in faith. Sometimes we do not get all that we want and what we desire, and sometimes people just quit on God and they go back to where they came from. I'll tell you what, I want to serve the Lord till I leave here. I want to be a child of God. I want to be a believer that is willing to go and to do and everything that the Lord gives to us, and to die in the faith. Faith, believing and telling and showing others. So these all died in faith. The Scripture says here, having seen them, those promises, verse number 13, they died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and they were persuaded of them and embraced them. To these folks in Hebrews chapter 11, when God made them a promise, they were persuaded that God would fulfill everything that He told them. And the Scripture says they embraced those promises. You and I, this morning, God's given us some wonderful, great, and mighty promises in the Word of God. We can look at them, we can see them, we can study about them, and thank God we can embrace them. And we can live a life that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ because we've seen them afar off. We've seen them from this vantage point of yet in the future what God can do for us. And we've seen the blessings of the Lord. And I may not get to see all that I want to see. And we may not get to see all of our family come into the fold of the Lord. We may not get to see everybody come to the point of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, I can grasp for it. I can obtain it. I can long for it. I can have what is given to here, receive the promise and persuade them. I can embrace the promise that God gives. Even though I may not experience it all, I can embrace it and say, God's going to do it. God's going to bless. God's going to help. God's going to give. So these Old Testament saints that's listed here in Hebrews chapter 11, they started on a journey. And then they died in the faith, having not received everything that God had promised them, but yet they obtained it, they were persuaded of it, and they embraced those things. Really what it tells you and I, never give up, never stop, never turn around, never go back. Don't quit on the Lord. These all died in the faith. These all have seen the promises of the Lord. They were persuaded of them. Thirdly, they all knew that this world was not their home. Thank the Lord. The latter part of verse number 13. And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What is a pilgrim? I know when we say pilgrims in America, we think of 1620 and coming over, and they're called pilgrims. But pilgrim, the word just simply means a traveler. It means he doesn't have a particular place to call home. He's just a stranger in the land. And the closer we grow to the Lord, the closer we get with God, the more strains that we will feel in this world that God has put us in. The closer we come to the understanding of the Word of God, we'll realize that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm here just a little while, but while I'm here, I'm going to embrace the promises of the Lord. While I'm here, I'm going to obtain what God has for me. While I'm here, I'm going to live in the faith so that when I die, I can die in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they realized, these that died in the faith, they realized that this world was not their home. You and I, we love life. We love living. I'll tell you what, eternity is far greater. And somebody said, I'd like to live a long time. Well, I want to live as long as God gives me. But who wants to live here forever? Anybody in here want to live forever? Anybody want to say, well, it's pretty good down here. I believe I'll just stay a long, long, long time. I'd like to be like Methuselah and live all those many, many years. I don't live that long. Because we see the tragedy of sin that has come upon this earth and upon this world. But as long as I live, I need to embrace the promise of God. We want to live as long as God gives us. We struggle for it. We strive for it. We do all that we can do to live. We grasp for that last moment of life. We grasp for that last breath because God, when He breathed into the nostrils of man, He became a living soul. And that man wants to live. That woman wants to live. That boy wants to live. That girl wants to live. I got an email this week from a preacher. I have never met him, but we're on the same email list and share different things and talk about prayer requests. And either today or tomorrow, he has to preach a funeral of a church member that he led to the Lord just not too long ago, and has to preach a funeral of that young girl, 11 years old, just not too long ago gotten saved. But you know what happened? She committed suicide. Now I know in our world where we live, people say, oh, if you commit suicide, you're not going to heaven. That's so foreign to the Word of God. You cannot find that anywhere in the Word of God. If a person's saved, there's nothing going to keep them out of heaven. Do we believe that or not believe that? But I know our area, that's predominant thinking. And so he goes on the request and he says, please pray for me. He said, I've preached over 100 funerals and I've never preached a suicide victim and especially an 11-year-old suicide. Active in church, active in a group, but in school, bullied, beat up, struggled all the time and said, I'm done. Isn't that a shame? Life is so very, very fragile. This world is not our home. The closer we get with God, the closer we come to the Lord, the more we realize we're strangers, we're pilgrims. The more we realize, this is not home. This is not where I want to be. Somebody says, well, home is where your heart is. That's true. If our heart's been fixed, our home is in heaven. Our life is His. These, they died in the faith. They died grasping and taking up to themselves the promises of the Lord. They realized that they were not home yet. They realized, following the Lord, was better than following the world. Notice here in verse number 14 and 15. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Now remember, this world's not our home. They're pilgrims and strangers. They're seeking a country. And truly, notice here, it's very important you read this correctly. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, if all they had on their mind was what it used to be like, if all they had about was their homeland where they used to live, he says here, they might have had opportunity to have returned. They could have returned if they kept their mind on the world before salvation. They could go back. They could return. They could go away. But now, here the scripture says they had been mindful of a country from whence they came. They might have had opportunity to go back or to return. And so instead of doing that, they made a choice of what? They're following God. They're grasping His promises. And they're forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward to the mark, the prize of the high calling of God. Always look forward in the things that God has for us. They made the choice in their mind, I'm going to follow God instead of going back to where I came from. I'm going to follow the Lord instead of doing what I used to do. You and I today, we know we're in the what the Scripture calls the days of the great falling away. I believe that. I believe we see it happening around us. I believe we see it in our families. I believe we see it everywhere we look. People looking back to what it was and what they want and what they had, and they just returned. But these folks did not do that, for they died in the faith. They had the opportunity, they could have had the opportunity to go back or to return, but they followed God. Verse number 16, and with this we'll close. What a wonderful, wonderful statement this is. But now they desire a better country. It's not that country they came from. It's not that place where they had their dwelling before. Now they're searching, they're looking, they're bringing to themselves the promise of the Lord, and now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Notice here, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. God is not ashamed of His people. God's not ashamed of those folks. They have proven that they're following God. They have proven that they're going to keep the faith. They have proven they're in the way. And so therefore God says, I'm not ashamed they call me their God. And God's not ashamed to call us His children because we love Him. He first loved us. These all, having not obtained all the promises, but they all died in the faith. They took the promises of the Lord and they brought them to their bosom. And they thought about, I could go back, but I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to that country I came from because there's a better country out there. And the Lord says when they get that mindset, He said, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. For He hath prepared for them, what? A city. John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. You know what that is? That's the city of God that the book of the Revelation says one day is going to come down from God out of heaven, and that's our abode. That's our country. That's the place where we're going because one day we die in faith. One day we stand before the Lord innocent. We stand before the Lord pure, even though we're not innocent, even though we're not pure. But God sees us through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He sees us just like His Son. And God says, I'm not ashamed they call me God. I'm not ashamed to call them my children because I have a city for them. I have a place prepared for them. So I ask you this morning, how will you die? Not talking about the circumstances, not talking about the time frame, but how will you die? Will you die happy? Will you die with help? And will you die with hope? That's the believer. Of course, there's always in a crowd, a congregation, there's always that possibility that someone might be here and say, I don't have any hope. I don't have any help. I don't have those things. I'm not happy. I don't have a home. Oh, thank God, we can point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you also can die in the faith. Let's stand together this morning.